Okay, y'all turn to the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter. It's just 12 verses long. But let me tell you something. It's 12 verses that are packed. Very, very packed. We probably won't get through very much of it today at all. Isaiah chapter 24 dealt really with the tribulation period. You know, this is what's amazing about Isaiah. So many people don't seem to understand that long before the book of Revelation was ever written, that the things pertaining to the Revelation, the latter end of mankind on this earth and everything, has already been written in the Old Testament 2,700 years ago. So that's what's amazing that most people don't seem to understand. Isaiah 25, the 25th chapter, as it's divided, actually now gives us an insight to what happens after the tribulation period. I don't know what all the noise is, but anyway, just try to listen to what I have to say here. Chapter 25 goes like this. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. What he says here, Isaiah is saying, you know, after the tribulation period and things are so bad and this earth has been so horribly judged, and again, I don't think our minds, excuse me, can even comprehend the judgment that's really going to come on this earth. I know they've made some little movies and you've seen some things out of Hollywood. That's not near as bad as it's really going to be. You know, I hear people, I was reading about a pastor the other day, and he said, I foresee in the future things getting so wonderful and great revivals and things are getting better every year. Now, I don't know what planet he's on, but he's not on the same one I'm on. And he's not reading the same Bible that I read. I see that it is a lot worse. Turn to Exodus 15:2. Way back in the Old Testament. Exodus 15:2. I'm going to read you a verse here that Moses wrote. I've got some music for y'all at the end of this class, but it's not like that. Okay? Exodus 15:2. The Israelites had just come out of Egypt, and they had crossed the Red Sea safely. God had taken care of them. And in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 2, here's what the Israelites say. This is a song that they sang. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. They did. They built him a tabernacle. Later they built him a temple. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, this is the Israelites are saying, Lord, thank you for delivering us. Thank you for getting us through that trial with Pharaoh and his army and keeping us safe. And we're going to praise you. We're going to honor you. And we're going to build you a place of dwelling with us. Well, the same thing's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period with the Jewish people. They're going to build another temple. It's going to be called the Third Temple. They're going to build a temple that's going to have Jerusalem as the worship center of Christ. He's going to live with the Israelites there on the earth. And it's going to be a great time. And this is what they're saying here, Lord. You're old and your faithfulness and truth. We're going to stick with you. In verse 2, for thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Verse 2 is talking about Babylon. Babylon, the word itself, is a city. But it also is a representation when you see it in this context here. This city is talking about is Babylon, which means it's man's program of a government without God. It is man's program of religion without God. It's man's way of doing his thing, just like Nimrod was going to do at Nineveh. And now the old Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar represented that. That city is in ruins today. But the Bible continually talks about a Babylon, which I want to read here in Revelation to you in just a minute. This is what it's talking about. In the end time, there's going to be a one world government, a one world church, a one world system that man is going to set up. Now, if you study the news every day or during the week, anytime, you will continually see over and over the one world government, one world religion. The Pope in Rome is calling for one world religion right now. He made a statement a couple of weeks ago. He said, everybody gets to heaven by worshiping their own God. Every God is the same. Now, this is the Pope in Rome, okay, leader of the Catholic Church, which is the most influential and numerical church to be called a Christian church in the world. But this is what he's proclaiming right now. The governments are headed that way, and the political scene is, well, we can't all get together and have any kind of control over the world. We can't stop the wars unless we have a one world government. It's all being set up right now for the end time, for the Antichrist to take over the political system. Now, there's something else coming. Along with the political system, there's going to be a religious system. And they're calling for these conferences now for Islam, Catholics, Protestants to get together and all say, okay, we all get there, maybe a little different road. This is totally contrary to the Bible. But this is what they're teaching today in the world circles. You're going to have a one world religion. You're going to have a one world government. You're going to have a one world currency and economic system. This is what verse 2 is talking about. You've made God, when all this gets together and the Antichrist heads this up, you're going to make it a ruinous heap. This is what it's going to be like. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. We studied Revelation. We studied this. But I want you to see the contrast here in Isaiah. He is talking about the very same thing in Isaiah, the 25th chapter, as Revelation later revealed in more detail. I'm going to read chapter 17 and 18 because it deals with what Isaiah is talking about. You know, so many people don't want to study the Old Testament. There's a large group of people that meet today, or meeting right now, and they're saying the Old Testament is irrelevant. It's already been done away with. It's finished. All the prophecies have been completed and fulfilled. That is not true. The largest majority of the prophecies in the Old Testament have not been fulfilled. So anyway, I want to read you these two chapters because it deals with the end time world system that each and every one of us today see forming up. We've been given the privilege to watch this thing develop and morph into this system that the Antichrist will take over. So let's start here. Chapter 17, book of Revelation. There came one of the seven angels which had seven vials, talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I'm going to show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. What he's talking about here, this is a woman, a fallen woman. It always represents false religion anywhere in Scripture. And he says, I want you to see this great whore or this fallen woman that's sitting upon many waters. The waters represent the nations. So this fallen woman, false religion, is going to come out of the nations during the tribulation period, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Okay, the world is giving her this power, and she's abusing it. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast. This woman, which is false religion, is riding the power of the political system, which is the beast. Now, there's going to be both systems in play that they're talking about. Full of names of blasphemies, having seven heads and ten horns. This is a combination. The seven heads and ten horns are the combination of all the world's empires that have come together at that time and are forming up this last beast with the woman riding on it. The woman was arrayed in purple. That means royalty. In these times, you couldn't wear a purple robe. It was an execution issue because only the royalty were allowed to wear purple robes. It says here, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. That is false religion. That's what it's talking about. She's full of false religion. Now, if you follow what's going on today in the religious world that's coming out of Rome, that's coming out of a lot of the other groups that are forming up and getting together with this group, then this is what you're seeing, false religion being developed more and more and more. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. You know, why does she carry this name, Mystery Babylon? Because it is a mystery that's being done underlying beneath the world's recognition of what it really is. It's a mystery until it comes to head, but it is going to come to head during the tribulation period. But you're seeing it form up right now. The great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You know, religion, false religion has destroyed more people on the face of this earth than all the wars. A lot of the wars are being fought because of false religion. Look what's going on today in the jihadists and the Islamic wars today. Where do they come from? It is a religious system that they teach that everybody must obey what they believe, and that's the way it's going to be, or else we're going to have war and you're going to die. There's no other option. This is a religious system. But guess what? It's going to merge in. I mean, the Pope had a meeting with one of their main Islamic leaders the other day, and the Islamic leader, when he left, he said, pray for me. And the Pope says, great, we're both headed for the same thing. We have the same objective. You couldn't be any further from the truth if you tried. But this is what's happening today in our world. Believe me, 20 years ago, you would have never heard anything like that. This is how fast it's changing. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That's not a good translation of the Greek. It would be better translated like this. When I saw her, I wondered with great amazement, not admiration. They didn't admire what he saw. But he was just astounded at what he saw, this religious system being like, having killed so many people that were true Christians. If you really want to read an interesting book, I don't usually recommend a lot of things, but if you want to read an interesting book, there's a book put out by a man by the name of Dave Hunt right now, and it's called The Woman Riding the Beast. It's about that thick. It'll take you a long time to read it, but it is a very interesting book. It's one I'm keeping in my library. I finished it up last week. But this is what it talks about, is what's going on today and the history behind how it's got to develop where it is today. The angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. This is the last political system. It used to be in one form. It's in another form now. It's going to come out of perdition, out of judgment and evil, with the devil being the head and the energizer of it. And this is what the political system is headed to now. And then it's going to go on into prediction. These names they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. people in the world are going to be absolutely amazed because they don't know the truth. Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're going to reject this message. They're rejecting it today. It's amazing. We have so many Bibles out here that people could read and study. But yet people are so fooled, they don't study, they don't know what it says, so they're going to be fooled. I'll give you an idea how easy it is to fool people. Last week, there was a reporter that took a microphone and he went out on the streets. I believe it was somewhere in California. That tells you one thing right there. But anyway, he went out to the streets in California and he went around and he interviewed people like in their 20s and 30s, okay? Now, these are our upcoming people to be our leaders. And here was the question that he posed to each one of them. We would like to know if you would like to comment on the great achievement of North Korea developing a hydrogen bomb. And every comment that he got was, oh, that's fantastic. That is great. We're so glad they achieved what they went after. You know, if everybody would just work real hard toward what they want and achieve it, how great a wonder it is. Stupid people don't realize they want to use it on us. Now, this is, and I say stupid, I mean that word. I really do. It's a harsh word. I mean it. When you can go around in America and our younger people don't have any clue that North Korea is what it is and that they want to destroy the United States and they developed a hydrogen bomb and working on a missile to deliver it now, by the way, to California. How dumb can you get? But you know what? That's just a representation of how ignorant people are of God's word. I have to say that. It's true. I hate to say it, but it is so very true. People can be so easily fooled if they just don't know the truth. Verse 9. Here is the mind that hath wisdom. Seven heads are the seven mountains of which the woman said. A lot of people claim this is Rome. It's built on seven hills. I would have to say that's a very real possibility. There are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. Another is yet to come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. That's the Antichrist. The rulers of Rome have come down through the centuries. And it says right now, there's another one coming, a short space, only 7 years. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, coming out of the old political system of the world, mainly Rome, and is the seventh and goes into perdition or destruction. That will be the end of it. It will go into destruction. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. We all know from Daniel, from the beast that he saw, and these ten horns that come up out of this beast's head, they live for a short time, and they give honor and glory to the one king that comes up above that's stouter than the other. That's the Antichrist. These ten kings are rulers. These are rulers of the world. You see today these rulers getting together from time to time. We send John Kerry and they all get together and they have the little conferences and say, oh, we're going to solve this problem. We're going to get the Syrian civil war stopped. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. This is what it's talking about. But when the Antichrist comes on the scene, what they're going to do is they're going to get together and say, okay, now we are giving you our allegiance. And for 7 years, that's what they will do. This is what's coming politically in the world, okay? These have one mind, shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They're going to give him full allegiance. Whatever you need from us, you've got it, okay? They shall make war with the Lamb. Notice who the major person is that they're going to go against, the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. That's Christ and his church, or the people that are leaving, that believe in him at that time. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters that thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That's the whole world. The whole world is going to lend its allegiance. Then the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. and shall make her desolate, naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Interesting, isn't it? Here it is. The Antichrist comes on the scene. He's got these 10 rulers, or kings as they're called, and they give him power so that he becomes king of the earth. And then you've got this religious system in which is giving him power. Now, if you notice, all throughout history, every great empire had to have a religious system to wield its power properly over the people. I don't care where you go, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, you can go on and on all throughout history. But each political power in those systems had to have a religious system that lent the power and got it through to the people. Now, this is what happens here, but here's what happens. After so long a time, and this religious system has so much power, these kings get jealous. And they say, enough is enough. And they turn on this harlot, and they destroy it. They destroy that religious system. And that's when the false prophet comes up, and he says, okay, we got rid of the world religious system. You destroyed it. But now I got another one for you, okay? And we're going to worship the Antichrist. We're going to set his image up, and we're going to worship him. Any questions on this? This is what's coming. Yes. No, you won't be coming to church. You're going to be in heaven. This is after the rapture. This is after the rapture. If you're a Christian, you won't be down here to participate in this. But here's the reason. Here's the reason this needs to be taught. Even though everybody in here that's a Christian, that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, won't be here to participate or have the effect of it. But here's the thing that we need to know. We need to understand what God's program is, so we can tell other people and warn them. Listen, here's what's coming. You know, people today are so upset and worried about what's happening in the world. They watch the debates, and they watch all of this stuff that's going on in the Middle East and these wars and threats and all that. And that's great. They need to pay attention. But this is where it's all leading to. And we should be aware of what God says, okay, here's what's going to happen. You need to warn people. That's our job, is to warn people. Listen, this is what's coming. And if you don't want to be a part of it, you better accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because that's your ticket out of here. No, we won't go through the tribulation period. But, what are you going through now? This is a leading up to that time. Look at the world economy right now. It's shaky. It's in bad shape. The world's economy is. It's shaky. Everybody's scared. What about the wars that are going on right now? People are scared. They did a survey not long ago, and they said people right now are more frightened than any other time in this century, even World War II, World War I. Of course, that was 1900s. But They said now people are more afraid now than ever. So we're seeing the leading up, setting up of this thing. Minute, do you have a question?
Do you think that we're in heaven, we'll see this going on earth?
I don't know. The question is, will we see this going on the earth? I don't really know. The Bible doesn't really say. I'll say this. If we are allowed to see it, probably only some of it. You know, I don't think God let us see 7 years of what's going on down here. It's going to be so bad and so terrible. I mean, you wouldn't have any kind of pleasure in heaven. Let's face it. It'd be like watching a bad movie, you know, and trying to have a good time.
We know
what's going on. Yeah. And you're going to realize that during that time, there's going to be the martyrs coming up there that are going to be telling, hey, let me tell you what's going on. If you remember, they're under the throne of heaven there, and they're asking God, say, God, look what's going on down there. Look what happened to us. When are you going to do something about it? He says, I am. Just be patient. There's more of you coming. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all love to see the bad guy get caught, don't we? You know, the old Western. That was one good thing about them old Western movies. That you used to see the bad guy always got it. You know, yeah. We're going to finally eventually see the bad guy get it here someday. Any other questions?
Yeah. When the bad guy gets it, where are all his followers, all his demons, all his followers?
Well, they're going to get it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible tells you he's going to gather them, just like we got through reading about them, you know, being gathered there in Isaiah, and they're going to be judged, all the demons and the other entities. There's more than demons involved in the spirit world. I'm not getting that. That's another study. But right now, but all of Satan's followers, yeah, they're going to get their just due. Okay? Anybody else? All right. Verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now see, God even uses evil many times throughout Scripture to fulfill his will. He uses their evil thoughts. He uses their evil designs to fulfill what he wants done. It's just like when Satan, you know, had Christ crucified. Of course, Christ says, I freely give my life. Nobody takes it, but he allowed him to do it. Satan thought he had the victory. Hey, I've killed the Messiah of Israel. I've stopped this plan God has for mankind. All he did was fulfill it. This is what God does many times. Just like the evil today that's going on in the world, we wonder about it. I hate it. I don't like it. You know, I'm the kind of guy, that my kids will tell you, I'm the kind of person, if I see something wrong, I want to go fix it. And I mean right now. And I just don't have that power and authority right now. And it frustrates me sometimes. Very much so. In fact, in my private times back there in my study, when I'm doing my study, I said, Lord, I'm telling you, when the kingdom comes, if you don't want it done right and you don't want them bad guys beat, you better not put me in charge, because there's going to be some changes made. And I'm honest about that. You know, that's the way I feel. And I think a lot of us feel that way too. But God will take care of it anyway. Any other questions? These are good. This is what's coming in the future. And like I say, we're not going to be involved in this if you're a Christian. But do you have friends that might be? Do you have family members that might be? You know, this is written to scare people. Like one young girl told me, she said, I started reading Revelation, but I quit. And I said, why? She said, because it's too scary. I said, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to scare you out of hell. Oh, yeah. You'll see the battle. That's the end of the 7 years. Yeah, you're going to see the battle. You're going to be part of it. You know, any of you haven't been in combat, guess what? You're going to get your chance. It's coming under a good leader, good commander-in-chief. A lot different than what we got right now. Okay. Let me finish this verse here, and then I've got something special for you. God will put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Till God's program is fulfilled, this thing is going to keep on going on. Okay? And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This will be the city that will be the political head, will be the religious head over the world during the rule of the Antichrist. Most scholars believe that that is Rome and Italy. I tend to agree with them. Now, next Sunday, I want to finish this. Again, it's still talking about what Isaiah said was going to happen back in the 25th chapter. I want to finish this with chapter 18 in Revelation. So we'll start there next week. Tommy, you got that DVD ready? John, you got it? I have something special here that I want to share with you. I use it a lot And a lot of mornings when I come in here to work, I come in early, and I use this to open my day. I play it a lot at home. I use this to open my day. I hope you enjoy it and get a blessing out of it.
Not into temptation, but deliver us.